All right. Welcome to another fantastic episode of the Sex and Horror Podcast with authors Dicey Renner and
Chantel David Renee.
Sorry, I totally lost you. Can I start from scratch? Sorry, I couldn't tell who you were pointing at on my screen.
No, it's good. It's all good. We don't, everybody knows that we just kind of keep all the bloopers in too. It just adds Yeah, we keep it, I mean, it just, that way it's not a perfect episode anyway. It's all good. But that is a great way to introduce our guest tonight. We have Raven Belasco. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, you are.
All right. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dicey and Chantel. I'm so excited.
Yes, yes. So when we were, you know, setting up and getting everything together, you said you were drinking, about to pour yourself a drink after you lotion up your hands. What are you drinking on?
I am drinking something in honor of you two. Oh, my phone is telling me that I have an alarm set to do something right now. What it could be. What could it be?
Have fun with us.
This is Strega, which is Italian for witch.
Oh.
And here, let me show you the bottle.
Nice. Ooh, okay, I'm glad I asked. Okay, Chantel's gonna love the witch part. I love the Italy part because I spent two weeks in Italy. So, you know, all things Italy right now.
I'm so jealous.
It was fun. It was fun. So you haven't been to Italy?
Not yet, but there's a long list of plans. It's already deeply planned.
Gotcha. So why this particular bottle?
Well, first off, the name is Strega, means witch or vampire. So it's right on brand for me on both names. But also the liqueur within, you can see it is this crazy color. I don't think I can describe it even as a writer. It's insane. But it comes down, it's very herbal and botanical, and it is a drink that comes down directly from what the women who were called witches by the church were drinking, were making as healing medicine. If you put the right kind of botanicals in, it could make you think you were flying. So.
Ooh, I like it. Okay, that's good to know. I'm gonna look for some of that. Does it taste good? She's drinking for those of you who are not watching.
So taking a sip, it's sweet, like a nice after dinner drink. But then the flavors just punch you in the face. There's rosemary. It ends on a lovely floral note. Mm. It's a whole experience.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you. Thank you for that drink recommendation. I'm going to go see if I can't find some of that. It kind of, when you said sweet, like a good after dinner drink, it kind of reminded me of like pink Moscato, something like that.
Yes, yes. It's like Moscato, just more intense. You only want this little tiny glass of it.
Oh, okay. Yes, I am intrigued. Nice. All right. So you heard Raven mention that she was a writer. So she writes the kind of books that we write and read. Drum roll.
Woo!
Yes. I saw a vampire series in there, which really intrigued me. And I apologize to everyone. Normally, I would have read something of hers by now, but you all know that my schedule has been crazy. I have not gotten around to that. So I don't have very specific questions, but I do have some based on what I've read in the descriptions and in our communication back and forth. And one of the things that stood out to me is you mentioned that one of your stories had too much sex in it, and they didn't know how to market it. And that you know, that rings true for me. That is, I have that in common.
Sorry you've been through that.
Tell me, that is relatable to me. Tell me about that whole process. Tell me about your books. Tell us about your books and everything. And then tell us, how do you take the sex out, or do you just publish independently, which is what I do?
Well, to answer in reverse order, I stayed with the publisher for 3 years. I had gotten a three book contract with them, and I decided, after I realized just how bad it was and how much of a knot fit we were. I was like, you know what, I'm just going to get these books written. And then I had, there was in the contract, it said if they didn't sell a certain number of books that, well, the rights were always mine, but the rights would completely revert to me and I could just take my shit and go. And so that is what I did. I cranked out the first three books in the series, and then without having to, you know, have a lawyer more than just tangentially involved, I took my books and went. And so now Blood Ex Libris and Blood Sine Qua Non and Blood Ad Infinitum are all independently published. The last two went out into the world on Halloween.
Congrats! Yay! Thanks. Good for you.
I kept the sex and dumped the publisher.
Yes! I was hoping it was going to go that way. I was hoping.
I'm curious what... Okay, so obviously there were some sex scenes. Yes. What about it was... Did they feel like it was too much? Like, what made them feel that way?
The sex at all.
Really? So was it like extreme open door? Like, where you're describing everything?
Well, I mean, in my book, I have explicit violence, so I like to have explicit sex to balance it out. You know, if it's action, you get to read about, you get to be there in the moment with it. So I guess this company had started as a Christian company. And so ironically, they were fine with all the violence you could pack into a book.
Isn't that something?
Their main vampire series that basically when the couple went to bed, it was like the Brady Bunch. Like they were in separate beds. they didn't take their jammies off. I don't know how you can have unsexual vampires.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Not in my little brain, no. They tried to talk me into cutting the sex, and I thought about it for a minute, and the woman who was my editor went through and did a pass to show me what it would look like. And she didn't just cut out the sex, she cut out the blood drinking.
Well, I mean, honestly, everybody knows that, as we've said many times on our show, that vampires are pretty much just a sexual creature, because it is that penetration, that taking and that wooing and that, you know, sexual energy. So, yeah, I don't see how I would agree. I don't see how they would expect it to not.
And if they wanted to take the blood, the blood exchange out, what do you call that? Sanguine or something?
Sanguination, but yeah. Exchange, yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to take that out and we're talking about vampires, what do they want? Energy vampires? Do they want another Twilight where they were, you know, just vegans? I mean,
well, I'm not writing another Twilight. I'll tell you that for free.
I'm just kind of curious, what was their concept to say, hey,
they just want
vampires, but we don't want, we want all the violence, but none of the stuff that makes them vampires.
Yes.
That's just crazy, yeah.
So, yeah, so I realized in book one, and then there was marketing stuff, like one of the people who was marketing me for them said, oh, you can just skip the sex scenes. Now, this is my publisher telling potential readers to just skip bits of my book. So that was when I decided I was out of there. But I said, you know, this is going to push me to get the books written and done, you know, in a tight time frame and move things along. So, but it was hard writing the books knowing that they weren't going to get what they deserved. You know, they weren't going to be appreciated. They weren't going to be marketed well. And it was just, I just kept having to tell myself, like, I'll just have them and then I will go and they will be properly loved and appreciated after that. So now I have an amazing.
I think you did the right thing.
Thank you. I hope so. I think so too. But
I mean, you know, I think it's funny because the world wants to sexualize women so much, right?
Yes.
But when we really bring it and start talking about sex, they freak out, right?
Once you own it, once you own your own sexuality, then it's a problem.
When they can put their notion of sexuality on you, it's fine. But when you have your own notions of sexuality, that's scary. That's women thinking, which is always a terrifying thing.
Yes, and it's what I love, because that's where the empowerment is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you know what? You bring up a good point for any of our listeners that are writers or authors, you know, having a good match for who is putting your work out there, who is marketing your work, who is publishing your work. There must be a good match. You don't want to just have anybody doing it, because that can make or break it getting into the right hands. Because I would have loved that. You know, so if I'd have seen something that was marketed that way, I would have been thinking Anita Blake, J.R. Ward, you know what I mean? So I'd have been like, oh, yeah. But so, you know, that's not a good match. You want to make sure you have the right people that are behind it and working with it. And luckily, we also do have the option of just doing it ourselves, which is great. So how are you doing your marketing now? Other than, you know, reaching out to fabulous podcasts like Sex and Horror Podcasts and coming on. What else?
Well, there is a whole big marketing and promotion scheme in the works. It's been sort of desperately learning along the way.
How long have you been doing this?
So it has taken a year to get the books back and to get them edited, get the new covers. And so in between then, it's been taking classes on Facebook marketing and Amazon ads and stuff like that. And I'm still, I have two other women that have come in. One's an author, one is just really passionate about publishing and passionate about my series, in fact, and just wants to be part of it. And so we're just all learning together and, you know, take, okay, I'll do this, you do that. So, you know, I think in a bit, we're actually going to become a pretty effective little team.
You already have your street team, your super fans.
Yes, I do. Awesome. That's one of the things that made it okay to go out as an indie author, was that I already have people who are like, where is the next book?
Yeah.
You know, and they're messaging me and so.
That's good.
Yeah.
If I didn't have that, I would have been a lot more concerned about getting a publisher. But, you know, now it's just, I know if I write it, you know, there are people out there wanting to read it.
Yeah. If you write, they will come.
Hopefully.
In more than one way?
Yeah. That double entendre there. Yeah.
I actually had a fan of the books that I was out to dinner with the other night. He lives on the other side of the United States, and he was coming through town. And he's like, hey, do you want to hang out? And I said, let's do dinner. And we were talking about the books, and there was this wonderful moment where he started telling the story to me. And I'm just sitting there like, should I mention I wrote the story? No, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy hearing it from his point of view. And he retold me the whole story, but from his point of view, which was really fascinating because it was a male point of view. And so he really, my main male character, Sandu, you know, he had thoughts about him that I had not actually thought myself. But then he got so embarrassed talking about the sex part. And he's like, oh, you know, I might have enjoyed the sex. I've tried not to enjoy it. And I was like, no, enjoy it. Like, enjoy all the parts of the book. And if some of the parts make you feel things in places, go for it. You know?
Like, then I did my job.
Yeah.
The compliment.
Yeah. He was just so embarrassed. And I was like, no, if I didn't want that, I wouldn't. Like, I mean, you can read the sex scene and just be like, oh, that's a well-written sex scene. And I'll be happy.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
But, you know, if a sex scene gets you a little hot and heavy, you know, ain't no shame.
Yeah, you did it right.
Which is there a particular, go ahead, Chantel.
No. I was just going to say, you mentioned you're and where he came from across the country. What area are you in?
I'm in New England.
Okay, nice.
Cold. Old, witchy.
Love it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to do in-person events? Do you do like festivals and book shows and author, you know, those events where you're a vendor and you're selling your books?
That is the plan for 2024. I got the 3-book deal, you know, and I was all, yay. And then COVID. And so, you know, I had always thought that part of being an author was going to be traveling around, signing books, meeting fans. And so at the moment, most of that has been online, doing podcasts and readings online and stuff like that. So I'm really looking forward to getting out there and actually, you know, signing books for people in person. And
you have some really great stuff up in that area, some good conventions and stuff.
Oh, yeah, especially with Salem there. I mean, everyone's just wanting vampires, you know, to be at their, you know, oh, we need some more vampires here.
Yeah, we need some more sucking. Wait.
Yeah. Always need some more of that.
Always.
There's a event. I don't know if you've been getting the ads for it, Chantel, but I have here. It's by Creative something or other, but they're having the cast of the Vampire Diaries. Mm-hmm. Dallas. It's over the next couple months or so. I don't usually like to go to shows anymore as someone just walking around, unless I'm going to be there hawking my wares, you know, making it, having fun being in the event, but also being able to sell my own work too. But it did look like it was an interesting event. They got all of them.
Let me tell you, I think you could sell at that event. I really do.
I looked on the site and I didn't see like a vendor's area. Yeah. It's like they already have everybody. It's just, from what I could tell, it's just all the cast. Like it is an event for people to come and hang out with the cast. But it's something great if you want to get into it, you know.
Let me say,
vendor site and I missed it, you know, it could be something possible.
I did my very first book I did at the Supernatural convention here. It was actually the last time they did the Supernatural Con here with all the hot guys from that show, right? And then I was actually not even put on the main con floor because they sold too much spaces. So they stuck us in a room across the hotel. Like we could still see them, but we were across. So I was like, this is terrible because we were getting nobody.
Yeah.
So we made a big sign that said Purgatory. And then we just walked around and said, come see us in Purgatory, because that was a big thing that was part of the show. I sold 70 books at that event.
Oh, good. Good.
So trust. People there, they're readers. They want, especially what you have at Vampire. Yeah.
Yeah.
Vampire Diaries. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, that's a good, being creative in selling and marketing is a good point. Yeah. Because I have been in places when you were mentioning about that was a Christian bookstore, a Christian book publishing company. I remember being at an event that was going to be hosted at the church the next year. But anyway, it was giving church vibes the whole time. And so we had to make a big splash in the corner just to get people, you know, to come to where we were, because we were kind of put off to the side. I didn't go back anymore because it was going to be held at a church after that. But I'm tying this into what Chantel was saying for anybody that's listening, to be creative with how you're marketing, because not everybody is going to be happy with what we're putting out there. But that's on them. We still got to find our people, because our people are out there. We do have people that like it. True Blood had a 7-season run, you know, and that was based on Charlene Harris's books that had a humongous run too. So vampires are never going anywhere. They just had The Last Voyage of Demeter come out. And I just saw that they're bringing out, it is Nosferatu. They're doing a remake on that with Bill Skarsgård. Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, vampires will always be around. It is. Oh, yeah. I might hear someone say something, but you know, well, that's you. We're not. Those of us who love vampire stories, we are never tired of them. We are always there to digest it.
If anyone says vampires are dead, you just say, nope, they're undead.
They're undead.
There you go.
And they're sexy. We are not just going to bring the violence without, I like how you put the balance between the sexual aspect of it. So when the people are, when your readers are reading your book, are they recognizing that balance, or are they leaning more towards, I really enjoy the violence, or I really enjoy the sex more? What kind of response are you getting?
Nobody has said, I really like the violence. And now I'm that's a goal I'm going to be trying to hit, because I try really hard to write good violence. Like, it's the only thing I'm a total pantser. I just get in there and write. But the violence scenes are choreographed. I draw pictures. Like, they're choreographed in person with my partner, who knows a number of fighting styles. Mm-hmm. And so we actually roll it out in person, and I'm like, okay, here's where we are in the story, here's the weapons we have, you know, here's, and then, okay, this has to happen in the fight, and then we end on this. And so it's just, okay, you know, the sword comes up, but it's blocked, and now, you know, knocked out of the wrist, dive to grab the sword, you know. It's the only part of the book where it's like, because I care passionately that I get it right.
Yeah.
But so, you know, now I'm going to be like, hey, I want people to like complimenting my violence. Thank you. But the sex has been brought up. So some of the people from the first publisher gave me these 1-star Amazon reviews, like, that's literally, well, there's sex in this book, and this is a family friendly publisher, so I'm going to give it 1 star. And it's like, why does my book get 1 star? Because you didn't read the description properly before you bought it? Like, okay. So.
It's so crazy that you're having that there. And it's like, we're in the Bible Belt, right? And then you're up north, you would think you'd have a lot more open. You know what I mean?
And this publisher's in Vegas. So, you know.
Look, at prostitution's legal.
Yes.
Wow.
So, but I do get, on the other end of that, a lot of compliments on how well-written the sex is. And that it's equally important for me, to get that right too.
Yeah.
So
she's taking notes is what she's saying.
Yeah. Yes. Oh yeah. I might've had a lifetime of taking notes behind me already.
All right. This is a safe way to get that. I'm getting some feedback. Who's is that? Is that me over here?
I think it was you, yeah.
Okay. That is a safe way to release that tension, you know, because you that's better than going out here and biting people and extracting their blood and having sex with them, right? Arguably. Yeah. I mean, maybe.
Depends on who you're asking.
Right. How much of your scenes do you actually, okay, I heard about the choreography for the violence. What about the sex scenes? Are you choreographing those also? Are you acting those out? You know, make sure you get the logistics just right, where he's going to put his arm here, you know what I mean?
Well, so since I'm not a trained fighter, I need to do the choreography, but I kind of know what I'm doing in the other sphere. So those I can just sit down and the scene just rolls along quite happily. you know, I don't.
So there's no special weaponry being used in the bedroom.
There is, actually. So in this world, I've created a language that the vampires use because they've had an underworld for a very long time, since the Neolithic, actually. And so they have words, specialty words for being a vampire and the culture that aren't in any other human or key language. So the Ammer, so that they call themselves the Ammer, and then if you exchange blood 3 times, you become a living vampire or an Ammernafsh. And so you get some powers, you get some downsides, but you don't grow the fangs right off. And so if you're going to be doing blood drinking, you're going to need some accoutrement you know, the bedroom, as you just, as you were saying. So in the book, the main character, Anushka, or Noosh, as she prefers, is given this special little obsidian blade, very old blade. And it's very, very sharp. And you can just get, with just a little nick, you can get what you need.
Nice.
So, sex is different for the Ammer.
Like one of the, so it's not one of those things where they have on their thumb that you puncture the wound.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, stealing that from you, Dicey. That's going in the next book.
I don't think I've used that. I use like actual vials and needles, but the puncture I've seen in other shows.
Yes.
Well, they use that. I think Bram Stoker's Dracula in the movie did that. Gary Oldman. I think he had one of those. I could be wrong. I'm getting them all
I
mixed.
I think it was just his own sharp nails.
Okay. What
I
about
think you're right? Yeah.
The spot. Tom Cruise's Lestat, did he have one of those? Like, where am I getting that from?
I don't know.
We're just going to have to watch a whole bunch of vampire films.
Marathon time to watch the shows that I've, and movies that I've seen a million times over again. And I'm going to love every second of it. So your titles, are they in Latin?
Yes.
Okay.
What?
Do you have a Latin?
So Blood Ex Libris is from the library. Sine qua non is without which nothing, and ad infinitum is just until infinity, you know.
Your covers are really great, by the way. I like them.
I was so lucky. I found this incredible artist named Quasi, who did some work for Disney, was it Marvel or DC, one of the two. And he was just getting out there and getting big. And so I was able to work with him, afford him, but, you know, probably in a year by now, I won't be able to.
Yeah. Congrats. That looks good too.
I really wanted something that stood out from the other, you know, paranormal stuff that's out there. You know, and say, this isn't paranormal romance. These aren't romances. You know, this is the story arc of a woman, and she's a woman who's having sex and finding love and stuff like that, but that's not the theme, and the right. coupling is not the theme. You know, it's not about the relationship, it's about her personal journey. So I have had more than anyone getting upset about the sex. When you tell someone the book is a romance and then those romance fans don't get the romance, oh, they get mad.
Yeah.
They are fans who know what they want. So now I honestly want to just put a warning label in the front, like, this is not a romance. Disappointed. Yeah. You know, if you're looking for, you know, blood and sex and, you know, ancient history and action, you know, in kind of multi-genre blending, come on in. If you're just here for a romance, then I'm so sorry, but, you know, try this over here.
Yeah. What was your inspiration for this series?
So this is going to sound so cheesy. I had a dream. I dreamed one of the sex scenes in the first book.
Okay.
In detail. And when I woke up, I knew some things about the characters already. And I just sat down and I wrote that scene, and then I went back and started from the beginning and wrote the book.
Awesome. How long did it take you to write from beginning to end?
5 years.
5 years.
It was my first novel.
Okay.
I've been writing short stories and articles for magazines, and I've been being a writer, and I always thought my first novel was going to be science fiction. Like, that was what I wanted, and I had a first, you know, some unfinished ones sitting around, and it never had taken. And then that dream happened, and it was like, hello, I'm your story. And I'm like, oh man, I wanted to write science fiction. Like, there's so many vampire authors out there already. But no, I didn't have a choice. By the time, you know, I was halfway through the first book, the whole arc of the three was there. And So it just happened. Like, I didn't... These characters really don't give me much of a choice in the matter. Like, they're the ones in control. I'm just the person with the typewriter.
I feel that, yeah.
I've never experienced anything like it, especially like when they don't do what I want them to do. So the sex, it's important to me that it's there for actual plot reasons. This isn't just, and now we're having a sex scene. So we had all the sex I thought we needed in the course of the book already. And then they go on an international flight and the characters decided they wanted to join the Mile High Club. And I was like, oh, no. You guys, we've had enough sex. Like, it's time to get on with the rest of the story. And they're like, oh, no. We're having sex in this airplane bathroom right now. And I was just like, oh, for... I had no... I just was like, oh, hell, I guess we're doing that then. So,
That's how I felt about my last book. I was like, oh, my God, I don't want to write this, but...
But if you stop them, you'll get writer's block or something.
Yep.
So
it's true.
You can't. You just got to do what they want. You're they're the ones in charge.
We are the conduits for their stories. It's their stories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You mentioned right at the very beginning, you were talking about witches and how you were close to Salem and the wand that you have the translation is witch. Do you have witches in your stories also?
No, I made a choice early on because there's a lot of great books where there's vampires and witches and necromancers and the whole lot, werewolves. And I was like, I just want to keep this pure vampire. I just want this universe to be a universe in which early on in our species, we branched off. And they, we went human way and they went vampire way. And we just don't know they're there, but there is some kind of fuzzy biology behind them. That looks a little bit, magical. If you squint at it too hard, but, generally this is really very scientific. I actually went over how my vampires work with a biologist and said, okay, here's the things the strength they have, they can be out in sunlight, but it gives them a really bad migraine, all of this stuff. I want a scientific explanation for it and how their bodies work and why they drink blood and all that. And so I hope that in the world building really gives it a solid base. They're not just randomly sparkling. they are, it might not ever be used in, directly in any story, but I know why they do what they do and what their limits are and stuff like that.
Now you do so much research. You talk to a biologist, you have a choreographer, you have all these different components where you want things to be precise. What is your day job? Are you a teacher? Are you a scientist? There's got to be something in there that ties in because you seem very scholarly.
I am a huge nerd. Yes, you are right. At the moment, I am putting 100% of my time into just making it as an author. In previous times, I actually worked writing language courses. It was not hard for me to be like, oh, the vampires are going to need their own language.
Okay.
Very cool.
Do you have like a glossary of terms or something?
In the back of the book, there is a, a glossary of the Amur language, all the words you need. And there's a note at the front of the book. There's a lot of foreign languages as well, because we're dealing with a really international set of vampires and we're traveling all over the world. And so people are it drives me nuts, when there's like a vampire from somewhere else and everyone's just talking in English. And I mean, yes, English is the agreed upon language for business and, stuff like that. And yes, you're going to have to default to it, but have them greet you in their native tongue, have them swear in their native tongue. 'Cause that's fun. you know, just throw in a bit of linguistic spice, you know? And so before, so I have a note in the beginning of the book saying, if you want to look up anything, just go to the back and every single thing, you know, is there ready for you, both the Amur language and human foreign languages.
Awesome. So, and you put so much into the series. Are you sticking with this for a while? Or are you going to create something new? Okay.
I do have other stories that are like, me, but they, I just write down the notes for them and they have to wait their turn. I want to do another three with an up-and-coming character in the series, and then I'm planning for another three after that, and I don't know if it stops, if we hit nine and stop, or if, but it feels like there's a big problem we have to solve, of course, so I don't know if we'll solve that problem by nine, and I'll have written myself to a dead end, or not.
If the main characters in this series, who would you cast them as? I want to picture them.
She's so good at this.
I have pictures. Like, I found pictures to send to the cover artists and stuff like that. I actually, like, don't have... I don't know if there's an actress. Like, I can try and think about it, man. But she'd have to dye... Like, she'd have to have, like, black curly hair and gray eyes and... I don't know. It might be a situation. I don't want to embarrass myself like Anne Rice and be like, oh no, Tom Cruise can't play Lestat, and then have to take out a full page, you know, apology after he rocks it, you know. So I would say that one of the characters, the big good, like, you know how there's the big bad. I have a big good named Bagamil, and Rami Malek could totally play him. He's the only one I've cast. Like, when I think about it, I actually would like to get new and up and coming actors. And, you know, Sandu turns out to be Vlad Dracula. So he... I would want a Romanian actor to play him.
Okay. You
know? There's, you know,
like the guy who's the Winter Soldier, Romanian, like that. Sebastian Stan.
Yes, yes. I would, but I'd like to go. I mean, I'm sure there's a billion good Romanian actors waiting for their big break. Yeah. You know. And actually Vlad Tepes, you know, he got around. Maybe there's even a descendant, you know, who's in acting, you know, just happens to have some facial features in common. But, you know, that's what I'd really like, you know, like have, you know, some of the, maybe the older Amur played by stars, but mostly I'd love to just give new and upcoming stars a chance.
That's great.
Do you have any controversial elements? I mean, and I don't mean, okay, people that are going to be prudish about sex and violence. I mean, outside of that, any controversial elements where you are thinking, oh, you know, I'm not sure how even my target audience will feel about this.
Okay. So there is religion in the books because, a lot of these vampires come from deeply religious times. Like Vlad Tepes, he was fighting for the Order of the Dragon. You know, he thought of himself as a good Christian, who just, you know, had to impale thousands of Turks, you know, for reasons. You know, so he, and, you know, there's another character who was a monk, and they talk about Christianity, but it's a very different form of Christianity, and you know, from a different time, and now it's through the eyes of a vampire. So no one has written in to complain about that. Then I do worry, like in the first book, the bad guy is Vlad's old enemy Mehmet II, that he fought against in his life, and I was like, oh, this totally makes sense. Let's do this. And then I start writing it, and I'm like, oh God, I'm making my bad guy be a, you know, Islamic Turk. Ha ha, ha ha. How do I write this that I don't offend everybody? And I didn't actually get to do it before the book was published, but this time for the release of the second book, I got a sensitivity editor. And I hadn't fucked up too bad. there were a couple places where she was like, no, let's fix this up a bit. But my understanding of Islam and Turkish myth and my treatment of the culture were actually like pretty on point. So like, pat my own back on that. But her other criticisms, man, they stung. And the fact that a first draft of, you know, that I really see that first publication as just a draft. It never got a really solid edit, and it did sensitivity edit it that it should have gotten. So the fact that it went out in the world and people read it, I'm just kind of like, but yeah, so basically my answer is I believe in the power of sensitivity editors.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that because, you know, we could just say F it, it's fiction.
And yes.
Fried. So I was curious on your thoughts on that. Is that Blackula back there?
Yes.
Hey, look at Blackula.
It's one of my favorite films. I watch it every Halloween.
Oh, yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen that one.
And this poster is in French, too. It had been, like, in the back of an old theater in Paris. And
got it
off eBay. And, yeah. So that's a treasure right there.
Yes. Okay, so can we transition from your books to more about you for people that want to get more of an insight to who you are? Tell us, like, give us, like, a weird, what's your weirdest story? Something that's happened weird to you. I'm surprised Chantel hadn't dug into this.
But, my God. Give us a life, and I don't know how to get to the weirdest.
Weird or creepy, like if you've got some ghosts following you around or something, we love those stories, you know.
I did once scare a friend of mine at a sleepover by telling her, so I grew up in this old house, and my friend came over, was sleeping over, and she said, and she said she was totally scared of ghosts. And I'm like, oh, that's too bad. We've got a ghost in this house. And I didn't mean it. I was making shit up on the moment. And she's like, shut up. And I'm like, oh, we had a sea captain who lived here in this house. And he sometimes, you know, his presence still comes around here. And she's like, shut up. And I'm like, you know, oh, you know, Isaiah, you know, Captain Isaiah. You've heard the pipes clanking. Sometimes that's Captain Isaiah clanking the pipes. And I'm like, Captain Isaiah, would you, just, you know, Sarah doesn't believe in you. Could you just clank the pipes a bit so that she'll know you're here? Clank, clank, clank. And now Sarah and I are clutching each other. The pipes keep going like louder than I've ever heard them. And finally I'm like, Captain Isaiah, I think that's enough for now. could you stop now. Silence. Silence. And thank God for that. Or I think Sarah would have choked me out, like, cause she was holding on to me so tight. So, yeah. You want ghosts. So one night when I was about 17 or so, I stayed up late. Lasher had just come out. I had the hardcover and I stayed up till like 3 a.m. I was not going to put that book down. And so I closed the book and, you know, now I'm exhausted, you know, like eyes are like all gummy. So I'm like, okay, I better go sleep. Turn out the light, lie down. And there's my room is dark, but there's a deeper shadow in the corner. And I'm like, we're not having a Lasher thing happening right here. And I'm like, okay, Mr. Ghost, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn on this light, and then I'm going to leave this room, and when I come back, you better not be here. So, now, of course, they can't get you when you're lying in bed, right? You know, you're safe under the covers, but yeah. To do all this, I'm going to have to get out of bed. So I'm like, up, light on, out of the room, and I was downstairs in bed between my parents. Like, hi! you're gonna laugh about this for the rest of my life, but could you escort me back to my room and make sure there's not a ghost there? And they were laughing, but we got back and there was not a ghost there, and he didn't show up again, so.
It may not have been a ghost, it could have been the boogeyman. Have you seen that movie?
Yes, yes, whoever it was. Happily, there has not. They were like, "Oh, I was wasted on her." So I didn't appreciate.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't think we have ever been disappointed when we ask for the creepiest or weirdest story or something like that. Y'all always deliver on that, so thank you. Those are great, both of them. Yeah. And I would usually ask, so Chantel would usually go into the creepy, weird part. I would usually go into the sexiest story. So, you know, we don't have to get too personal in your own life if you don't like, but what's your sexiest story? Either that you've read or written.
Or experienced. Or that
you want to tell us where it was. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm trying to sort and see if there's something that's actually interesting for other people as opposed to just in my own head. a funny thing in me setting the standards for sex in these books and thinking, oh, this sex is fine, you know, innocently, sweet summer child going off into the world trying to get published. I was in like a big, like, just give me the paranormal romance, like, you know, like get it in the vein kind of moment. And so I was just taking anything from the library out. And so I get this book out from the library and I'm reading it. And somehow the main female character and a male witch and a vampire and a werewolf are all in this, we all end up in this cave and we're all having sex. And I'm just like, well, this is not sure plot-wise how we all ended up in this cave, but we're all in this cave. And,
They're having an It moment by Stephen King.
Right? It must be a big cave, too.
Yeah, it's a sizable cave. It had room for everyone. And then the werewolf shifted, and they kept having sex. And I was just like, okay, this was in the library. Without a warning label or anything to indicate that we were going to be having sex with somebody in animal form. I mean, I guess it's not bestiality if there's a human in their head. I don't know. But yeah, so that's why when my books had sex that had detail, I thought, oh, I'm not even close to the edge of what is acceptable. Nobody has sex with an animal in my books. I'm fine. So it was a real shock with me.
I got that covered too.
I mean, you know, if that is what you are, if that is what people are enjoying, more power to them. You know, in stories, you can explore anything. I just really thought that my books were actually a bit tame. Based on that, I just got it out from the library. I just thought, oh, everybody's writing that stuff. And then they're like, oh, there's too much sex in your books. And I was just like, there's no werewolves transforming halfway during the sexual act. I'm sorry. Like, we are not that shocking.
There's too much sex in your books for them. Yeah, for them.
Yeah. For them. Yes. Obviously, people who are looking for, you know, a naughty situation, as it were. With a werewolf.
That's okay. We have a friend who's written sex scenes with an octopus, so.
A tentacle story that is unpublished yet. Its title is It Came in Nora's Hole. Nora's hole is a swimming hole that this gal chose to have a swim in, and got a bit more than she expected. So hopefully I'll place that someday. I'll send it over to you guys if you want to read.
Yeah, nice play on words. I love that.
Yeah.
So if you had to pick between having sex with a werewolf or a vampire, which one would it be and why?
I mean, embrace the power of and. You know, some days you want a little extra penetration, you know. Some days you want it a little, you know, a little rougher, a little, you know, a little hairier.
Well, I'm just saying, if it's at the same time, make sure the Germans in the front and the Asians in the back.
I love you.
That reminds me of the conversation we were having with Dr. Valentina a few weeks ago.
That's why I said it.
I heard that episode. I know exactly why you said German. Although I have to say, my family is German, and I've been with Germans, and I'm not sure Germans are the biggest. It is not my experience, so I'm sorry, Germans. I might have to knock you off the top pole there, as it were.
Who is? Get my pen out. Who is?
The guy who was biggest that I know of was just a mutt, you know, just all kinds of ancestry. I think he just got to mix the genes up to get the best results. So, but yeah, a lot of lube is required.
I wonder who would be biggest between a werewolf and a vampire. I always just pictured the werewolf would be, for some reason, because they're usually big and hairy.
That animalistic kind of thing. But, you know,
I'm thinking more of a canned good.
So, you know, if you want things real hard.
Yeah.
That would be the vampire.
Yeah, and then I think I would prefer like the biting aspect involved, and maybe some of the glamour, you know.
So I mean, absolutely. It's kind of like, you know, the suave sort of date versus
you know.
But
give me the werewolf.
I want a little glass with the top hat. I'm picturing Gary Oldman now.
The
fancy clothes, and you know, if you spill a drop of blood, you take the handy. Sometimes, I mean, sometimes the whole ravishing thing is a better picture. It just depends.
I think you are gonna like my book, so I think you're gonna.
Oh, okay. So you released your last couple books on Halloween. Did you do anything? Did you go to Haunted House? Did you do anything spectacular for the release and for Halloween?
October sort of got crazy, so any original plans sort of got thrown out the window. I was like, I will make up for it with next book releases. It was kind of weird because it was like, well, this book's already been released. You know, so it felt but in 6 months' time, there's going to be a series of three novellas set in that universe getting released. So I'm going to be putting my energy into big shindigs celebration.
And I look at this as part of your release party. Like, I feel like this is part of, we're still within the 30-day window, so this is kind of like a celebration of your
absolutely. Chin chin.
Yeah. Hey, you see my nun?
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Yeah. I love it.
My friend Jace bought this for me at the last Houston Horror Film Festival pop-up market that we had a few weeks ago. Speaking of New England, and pardon my ignorance on where that is in relation to where they usually have the Krampus celebrations, but do you ever go to anything like that?
Do they have Krampus celebrations in the States? I thought that was just a European thing.
Well, down here we have a lot of Krampus lovers.
Oh, I mean, fantastic. That's exciting. I haven't seen any Crampi, I don't know what the plural is, wandering around the streets up here, although the costume would be warm enough, certainly, for December. But I do have a lot of friends who are seriously into that. And there is the sort of the kinky, sexy aspect to the Krampus that a lot of people pick up on.
He does like to spank.
He does. And he's got some implements as well.
Yes.
And he's got a long tongue.
Oh, yeah. I actually saw a lingerie that had it was black mesh and had the Krampus on the front.
Ah. Cute.
So if you need some Christmas lingerie.
I mean, who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Yeah, I was just looking at my clothes, at my lingerie stash earlier, and I need an upgrade because the girls have changed, and so I need something that is more coverage. I feel like I do anyway. Too much information, I know.
Oops, but boob and under boob are real big right now, though. So
it's
you're just in style.
It's like what was supposed to cover the whole area is turned into just right here. So
have you seen
and they're everywhere
of stars of movie stars at the beach? That's what they're wearing. Well, I mean, I'm not sure if it helps keep you actually in place without just falling out, but
yeah, that's
personality.
That it would be everywhere.
I'm gonna be dazzled. I'm gonna be dazzled. This woman. What do you call those things? A wheelbarrow. So when she's older, she can just get those girls around.
In a bedazzled wheelbarrow?
Yeah.
I need a glamour wheelbarrow.
For each one of them.
Infrastructure. You just need good infrastructure.
Yeah. She's got a little bit going on in there, that area.
Just a little bit, yeah. But speaking of lingerie, yeah, I'm shopping. I'm in the mood for some new lingerie.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of new things, ladies, I just got a new mechanical boyfriend that is top notch.
Fantastic.
Under $100, I was shocked. It is an it was an Asian company. It has a very strange implement. Okay, so it does a suction, which is already like, if you don't have anybody hearing my voice right now, if you don't have a mechanical boyfriend that has suction, you're not living your life correctly. Not only does it have this, but in the middle of the shaft is this soft rubber thing that flicks back and forth.
In the middle of the shaft?
In the middle of the I was like, this is going to be weird. And it was like, I just went to Mars and I didn't even realize I had a trip planned.
What's the name of this object?
I don't know the name exactly. I'll have to.
Using him. She doesn't even know his name. She's just using him.
No, I'm just saying, look for the one with the middle that does weird stuff.
I got to type that right into Google.
You got me curious, but.
Yes, I don't.
I don't have any info.
Oh, gosh. Hello. I kept the box, but I don't know where the fuck I put it. I'm looking for it.
Pants on.
Oh, yeah, of course. I never sit here without clothes on. Only you do that.
I have to say there's been a lot of these things where I've been, business up top, casual down the bottom for these. But right. Today it's a full-length dress, so I'm prepared for if I knock the camera down.
Well, we've almost kept you a full hour, Raven. Would you like to tell everybody where they can find your books and where they can follow you on social media?
I can't believe it's been an hour. I've been having so much fun.
Right?
Oh, who's that cutie pie?
That's my Kevin.
Oh, is he feeling better?
Uh-huh. Oh, well, Rugby was sick. Rugby is doing much better.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my books, best place to buy them is my website, raventhelass.co. I can send links to go up with the podcast. And there you can actually get signed to you paperbacks. So that's obviously the best way.
Yeah.
Also, you can get on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Waterstones, or preferably go down to your local bookstore and order. And then there's ebooks as well on all those places. So I'm widely out there. I'm open.
You're wide. Yes, that's amazing. And your social, do you want people to follow you on any particular platform?
Type in Raven Belasco on Instagram, Facebook, Blue Sky, TikTok, YouTube. I'm everywhere. I'm Legion.
What is Blue Sky? Hey, Legion. Yeah.
Blue Sky is like the thing that's replacing Twitter. Slowly sliding down. It's got all the fun of early Twitter. Like, people are having real conversations there. And there's a lot of authors over there just talking with their fans, and it's fantastic. Okay. I also have an invite code.
Are you in the IG threads? Like, is that a thing? Or are people?
Oh, those threads. Yeah, I signed up for it. I never have the time.
Yeah, same. I think I logged on one time and I was like, you know what? No. And I shut it back off.
Same. Hard same. But yeah, I love doing reels and live on Instagram. So there's lots of good content. And I have a newsletter that you can sign up for. I keep forgetting to promote that, but there it happens occasionally at sort of random intervals when I feel like it. It's always good reading, and I always have little things that don't go out into other social media in there, little snippets from the book or stories about characters not behaving like they ought to.
Nice. Thank you so much for coming on and having a chit chat with us about your books and letting us get to know you a little better. It's been a pleasure.
I've had so much fun. And if you guys just want to talk about stuff, I'm so ready to come back anytime and just chat with you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Maybe we can have you back for like a movie review episode.
Yes. Oh my God. I would love that.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. I'll reach out to you.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Please have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks.